Hey folks, David Figler here. Before we get started, I know that yesterday's shooting in Summerlin is weighing on a lot of you right now. It's weighing on us too. Our hearts go out to the families of the victims and to everyone in or near the building who had to experience the terror of living through a shooter situation. We'll keep following the story as it develops.
I don't know about y'all, but I have been doubling up on my allergy meds lately. I'm Flonasin, I'm Zyrtecan. So today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm with UNLV Pollen Monitoring Program Supervisor Asma Tahir to find out why spring allergies are so intense here in the Valley and what we can do about it. It's Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. So we love the spring weather in Vegas, but I just have the worst allergies this spring. Is allergy season in Las Vegas getting longer and more intense?
Well, this year is a little different from last year for certain species of pollen. January is ash. That usually pops up in the first or second week of January, and that did not happen this year. And the reason was that we were still cold. So we were like, okay, is it going to come back with other tree allergens? And which are the biggest offenders you might know are mulberry and olive in the city.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were hoping, okay, January went by, ash is not going to come back probably. But that's where we were mistaken. Ash did come. It came later in March, and then boom, there was mulberry. The other interesting thing that we were expecting this year, because last year, as you might know and might have noticed, that we had frequent spells of rain in Las Vegas.
Yeah. It was a very rainy spring, I noticed, because I put a garden in the ground for the first year. So I've been very aware of when these fronts come through.
Yeah. So last year, whatever happened with regards to precipitation and rain, trees store them to bloom, or their pattern is how it's going to show up for next year. So because there was so much rain and so frequently last year, we were bracing ourselves. But then the cold season was there because it kept on going. So ash season passed by and we were like, okay, ash is gone. So I've been told by the experts that mulberry is not the most allergenic tree, but because of the number of trees and the number of pollen that it emits during that small period of time in spring, then the reaction is very huge. That's why. There are other allergenic trees too, which is after this, we will go into another season where we will see olive. So olive is going to create a lot of problems for allergies. Another interesting thing that I would like to mention to your viewers and to you is that people don't talk about ash being from the Olea family, which is olive family.
Oh, okay.
So if someone is allergic to olive, they more than likely might be, you know, to ash as well.
So it's all tree pollens in the spring
it's
that are really getting
us. Right now. And we are seeing ragweed here and there. I'm counting that as well. And then there are other stuff like pine, sycamore,
maple. I was
going
to say, I feel like we go through like the spruce pollen season and people are driving around and their cars are just covered in yellow. That comes all of a sudden too.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. And what you are affected with or by is not going to affect probably me. So if somebody says, I don't have a mulberry tree in my backyard, or I live in Summerlin, because Summerlin was probably built after 1991. Mm-hmm. And 1991 was the year when we had a county ban on selling and planting, you know, certain varieties. We have to be careful. Certain varieties of mulberry and olive. Not all. So, and then the wind. Because
I was just
going
to say, the wind is kicking up right now, and I'm already like, oh, I could just feel it like in my sinuses. Yeah, the windstorms, which is, of course, a big part of the spring, it's just agitating all of that pollen in the air.
That's
correct?
A big factor, too. And we noticed, especially with precipitation, like if there was relatively heavier rain on Sunday night, for example, and we collect on Monday. More than likely, the pollen counts will be less for tree pollen because rain brings it down, and because it's so tiny, it can easily be destroyed, which is a good thing.
Oh, so the rain does clear the air to a certain amount.
For tree pollen.
For
tree pollen, because you know the distance for the height.
Yeah.
It brings it down and then it gets destroyed. But if the sun comes up right away after the rain mm-hmm. and it has not destroyed the pollen, what it's going to do? It's going to just carry it with the wind somewhere else.
I see.
And then the climate issue, you know, it's warm, longer winter, Vegas being snowed in, 2017 or 18 it happened, you know. So that also pushed the season. So it's multifactorial.
So I was going to ask, you know, speaking of climate change, are we trending towards more pollen in the air, more difficult allergen springs, or are these isolated incidents, like just depending on what happened the year before?
I mean, I've been asked this question in every interview that if sure. I can give you a yes or a no answer, I can't. The reason yeah. being this program is very young.
Yeah, yeah.
It started in 2014. For that particular answer and for the trend that I can tell you, oh, yes, this is the trend. I need more years.
Mm-hmm.
Trend needs more data.
Got it.
And we need more historical data for you, 15, 20 years. So we are not there yet. But yes, things are changing. And there are different factors. That's why they are changing.
Well, I'm certain that CityCast Las Vegas will be around in 20 years, and we will just check back in with you. How about that?
Yes, that's wonderful, wonderful. And we hope the same, that we are around, because this is a grant program. So
right,
and the grant
right.
renews every year. So we are hoping that there's value seen in this program, that how we give information to the community and how it's public health information, you know, and we hope to see that this is around.
Okay, well, let's talk some public health, because what are some of the myths when it comes to dealing with your allergies? What works and what doesn't?
So again, I'm not a physician, but
sure.
these questions are, you know, are asked quite often. And we do have a retired allergist on our grant,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Joram Sagiv. And I've heard him talk when these questions come up and how he answers. So a question is usually asked to him about local honey from local bees.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it's a myth. That's coming from a doctor's mouth, right? I don't know. So
I
that's what he
that.
Says.
The I'm other a big thing, foodie, but I believe that. Eat it because it's delicious and we love bees, but it's not going to fix your allergies.
No,
sorry.
No.
I guess the idea is that the bees are, you know, the pollen is mixed in and you build up an immunity.
Exactly.
But yeah, so he says no, huh?
He says no. And then another funny question was asked and he said, what could be changed? And he said, genes. And that is not spelled J-E-A-N-S.
Mm.
And it's the other genes, your genetic component, G-E-N-E-S.
So, okay, what is the vagus mix?
I've heard about it, but I'm not exactly sure that what exactly is in it.
I don't know either.
But the question was asked to Dr. Sagiv also about the vagus mix, and he said that that's not going to help you at all.
So I think with any of these, the best advice is talk to your doctor if
yes,
you're having allergy symptoms.
Definitely.
And I will say I had a doctor once that said, if it doesn't hurt, go ahead and do it. So
yes.
if you do want to eat honey, you know, knock yourselves out. Or do you
yes.
want, I don't know
anything
about the vagus mix.
Anything natural, if it's
yeah.
not, exactly. If it's not going to harm you and you do not have underlying conditions that you think could be harmed because of taking something, or maybe you will have a reaction to honey or something. But some people do.
Yeah.
I would. So it's all your own knowledge about your body. And then please reach out to the professionals.
Talk to a doctor. Always, always a good time. Just have a conversation. We've been drilling into some of the details, but can you give us a quick overview of what the pollen monitoring program actually does?
So this program actually started in 2014. And initially, the program was or had only one National Allergy Bureau certified site, which is the UNLV site. So
mm-hmm.
we have a sampler on top of a building over here at a certain height, and we had only one. What makes Las Vegas program very unique is that we have other five stations as well where we collect samples from.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them are stationed at the land of school districts. So two schools in the southeast area, older Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and one in Palo Verde High School. And then one of them is N in 95. The sixth one is in Jean, the desert, actually. So it's
okay.
like 40 minutes drive from there. So that's what we do. So what the program does, that this is a grant, like I told you, coming, the money is coming from school district. School district gets the money from air quality. And air quality gets this money from fines that are imposed on, you know, vehicles emitting these emissions and all that. And the goal is to that it has to be used for educational research purposes. And that's how we get that money. So
what do those pollen collection stations actually look like?
So the sampler is called a Burgard sampler. Mm-hmm. And that sampler is placed on top of a shed, actually. Mm-hmm. And that shed actually belongs to air quality. Mm-hmm. And they do their research within that shed, which has a door and one room. And then we climb up the ladder and then a sampler is placed up there because there is a certain height recommendation mm-hmm. for that sampler to be placed so that there are no blockages, no barriers, and pollen can easily be deposited on that sampler.
So once you collect the pollen that's deposited on these, wait, what did you call them? The collectors.
It's a Burkhardt sampler. But in the Burkhardt sampler, we have the equipment has a head. Mm-hmm. So a 7-day head, because of course we cannot collect every day from all six different sites. We only collect daily from UNLV because we are supposed to report it every day except for the weekends. We come back on Monday and then report it. And then the equipment is called, inside is called a drum. Mm-hmm. And then we grease the drum and put a Melanix grease tape on top of it. And it moves those 7 days or the slide moves 24 hours. And it moves up slowly for 24 hours. So with the impact of the wind, the pollen actually deposits on that grease. And then we bring it back. Mm-hmm. We stain the sample with a pink stain. And the reason we do that with a pink stain is this, because if we don't stain it, then the pollen will look very clear. We cannot identify one from the other. Mm-hmm. So then the pollen attains the pink color and you can say, okay, this one is pine. You know, this one is mulberry. This one is ash. You count it. Put it up on our Excel sheets. We present it at different conferences throughout the year. And of course, we put it up on our website. Yes, that's what we do.
And also just like said, as you mentioned, the daily reporting from UNLV of what the allergy conditions are like that would go to weather networks and things like that too.
Yes.
So let's talk about, you know, we did touch on this a little bit because you mentioned that there was a ban against certain types of olive trees. I mean, how does the city's urban design affect the allergies we experience?
So these days, you know, over the past couple of years, many things have changed in Las Vegas because of the shortage of water.
Right.
So they are now encouraging residents to use turf. Mm-hmm. Turf has its own, you know, issues that it gets really warmed up, actually dictating how, like you said, the landscape would like to be or the city wants to be. They're going towards desert landscaping, right? Mm-hmm. But you also have to understand that many of the plants that are brought in here are not native plants.
Right, even the desert-friendly ones.
Even the desert-friendly ones. So that would be a problem. And we have to focus on that, just not on saving water. Mm-hmm. So that's why all these entities, you know, stakeholders have to get together, not just save water. That should not be the only goal. That's what I think. The goal should be that what are the plants that you are planting or recommending at HOA meetings that do this and don't do this? But are those allergenic plants? Is it going to affect someone? How much its pollen is dispersing from them? We don't know that. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's helpful in the long run that we are probably not planting mulberry trees, but only mulberry is not the issue.
Right.
There are so many other issues and we really need to address those.
I mean, and if anyone is curious about decolonizing their own backyard, we actually did a whole episode about planting a native yard, too.
Oh, wow.
So you could check it out, Asma. It was a good one.
I will.
It inspired me.
That sounds very interesting. Wow. So
anyone that's curious about what plants and where, that's a great episode for you. So for some of our more sneezy and environmentally sensitive listeners, what can they do to have a better quality of life in our Las Vegas allergy seasons?
Okay, so first of all, if things are to the point that you think that over-the-counter stuff or it's to the point that it's affecting your everyday life, please seek professional help. I teach here also and I tell my students, not everybody, every body is different. So what is going to help you might not help me. But what I've been told that whatever allergy medicines that we are using, we should be using that at night. so that it takes effect before you go out. If you are going to take it in the morning, it's going to take a while for it to set in and you are suffering again, right? Try to limit your exposure outdoors. Sometimes that's not going to work out. If we have to be out, we have to be out, right? When we return, especially in high pollen season, which is still high pollen, it's not very high, but high pollen season, we should take out our jackets and our shoes and leave them in the garage. We should not be taking them inside.
Don't bring them in the house.
Okay. No, don't bring them in the house. Also your pets, because you think you have taken a shower, which is also highly recommended before hitting the bed, that you should take a shower and wash your hair, because pollen is now on your hair too. And now it's going to be on your pillow. And the whole night is going to be very bad for you. But then you didn't consider the pets. The pets are moving, you know, they're walking outside and they're bringing that on their skin inside too. Change your filters regularly. Don't let your windows be open to, you know, line dry your clothing or leave the windows open, because pollen is still going to come in, right?
Right.
Things like that.
So one kind of last follow-up question here. I know that mulberry, you said, has now been banned. You can't plant it, although, you know, we're not out there cutting down mulberry trees.
Yes.
Are there plants you think should be banned in Las Vegas moving forward?
Well, that's a very sensitive topic, too. So I don't know. Again, the reason I cannot say for sure that this plant should be banned, the reason being, again, I'm going to repeat myself here again, maybe I'm affected by ash, and I would like to, I would like to ban ash, but what varieties of ash, I don't know, right?
Right.
But you are affected by pine or sycamore,
right,
and you would want that to be banned. So if we keep on banning all of these things, we are going to lose the greenery. I think the goal should be, first of all, the knowledge has to be there, that which tree, which shrub, which weed, which grass variety has the potential of being allergenic. Then the HOAs and, you know, the water district or the landscaping and the county, then they should come up with plans that, okay, this is the least allergenic one, and we should be okay with this many numbers. It will be difficult, I think, to do that. Maybe in time we might have to. But for now, I would start with the knowledge first, that which one, potency-wise, is more allergenic, and then go from there.
Asma, thank you so much for this information. I even got some tips that I'm going to implement, and it'll make me feel a little bit better while still appreciating the beauty that is spring. So thank you.
Exactly. Thank you so much. I appreciate that you took interest in our research, and we are able to share all this information with you. Thank you.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed this show, please rate us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care.